Violence in Sudan continues to rage on, not just in the western region of Darfur, which is often in the headlines. A couple weeks ago, the decades-old battle between the north and the south of the country came to a head in the oil-rich town of Abyei, where 90,000 people had to flee their homes because of clashes between government and militia forces. The United States has sent a top envoy to Sudan this week to try to keep the violence from spiraling out of control. He landed in Khartoum yesterday. That's the same day that all three main U.S. presidential candidates released an unusual joint statement condemning the violence in Sudan and pledging to make that country a priority, no matter which one of them ends up being in the White House. We thought now's a good time to take a look at exactly what the U.S. wants in Sudan, how it's working to get it, and where all of this could lead. Stephen Morrison directs the Africa program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. Mr. Morrison, thanks for being here.
Glad to be with you. Thank you.
Let's start with the meetings that are scheduled to take place this week. Richard Williamson is the U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan. He's arrived in Khartoum. What are his objectives?
Well, Rich Williamson became the envoy end of December when the previous envoy, Andrew Natsios, stepped down. The White House immediately appointed him as a replacement envoy. He got very busy in January, February, made his first trip out there and formulated a pretty aggressive list of sort of performance indicators to table with Khartoum. And the message was, look, here are 80 or 90 very concrete measures that you need to take in some form in order for the United States, and you need to do this rapidly in order for the United States to feel like you are turning a corner and that it might be in the quid pro quo would be that the Bush administration would take reciprocal steps to begin to normalize relations.
And this is the goal, right? Normalizing relations. Both parties want this to happen.
Well, both parties are in a negotiation around trying to get better performance from Khartoum in Darfur, as well as better performance in the North-South Peace Accord, with the possibility of a reward in terms of normalization. And from Khartoum's perspective, it has been living under pretty comprehensive U.S. sanctions since 97. It's been on the list of state sponsors of terror since 1993. Leave it in a highly abnormal status, not just with the United States, but it has implications in its dealings with any of the international organizations, financial organizations, IMF, World Bank, and others, and greatly constrains them in their dealings with the West in general. So both governments, I think, are at different times quite divided internally about which way they want to go forward.
So this is, we should point out that there are some genuine security interests that the United States has in Sudan. It is not just about quelling the violence there that has taken so many lives, but Sudan is also, the government of Sudan has been blamed for not only fomenting the genocide in Darfur, the scorched earth policy that killed millions in the south, but of sheltering Osama bin Laden. This is something that's clearly a priority in the war on terror is finding that particular character. How is the U.S. managing those two priorities, quelling the violence in Sudan, but at the same time making sure that Sudan is no longer a place that harbors terrorists?
Well, let me talk about the counterterrorism agenda. It is true. Osama bin Laden was based in Khartoum once from 1991 to 1996. He was then forced to exit under the combined pressure of the United States and Saudi Arabia in that period. And then it was then that he left and migrated to Afghanistan. He left behind a network of commercial enterprises and some of his operatives. After 9/11, the United States stepped up its pressure upon Khartoum to divulge what it knew about these networks. And even before 9/11, in the spring of 2000, an interagency U.S. team of intelligence experts opened a dialogue with Khartoum well before 9/11, and that was already advancing when 9/11 hit. So there are some counterterrorism issues. The government, Bashir himself, when he came to power in June of 1989, he was very much an Islamist figure backed by a strong Islamist movement. Over the course of the 90s, chose to separate himself from some of the key figures. Tarabi is the leader of that Islamist movement within within Sudan. He separated, imprisoned that person, expelled a number of others, and interestingly, one of the armed insurgent groups, the Justice and Equality Movement, is in fact a sort of revanchist armed movement that seeks to restore an Islamist republic in Sudan. It's that group that launched this audacious attack upon Omdurman and Khartoum 2 weeks ago, coming across the desert from Chad. So there are, you know, the counterterrorism issues are still live ones. It's part of a U.S. Sudan dialogue. I think there has been progress in the last years in having that dialogue and divulging information, sharing information, and it remains a live matter with respect to one important part of the armed insurgent groups there. But the main bulk of the United States' interest in Sudan really hinges on trying to consolidate and secure the peace between the north and south,
which is still very fragile. So we're talking with Stephen Morrison with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Mr. Morrison, I'd like to ask a favor. If you could hold on the line, we just have to take a quick break. And there is one more question I'd like to ask you, if you could hold on. Thanks so much.
Sure.
Stay with us. You're listening to The Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Don't go away. Back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're continuing our conversation with Stephen Morrison. He directs the Africa Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. We're talking about Sudan, U.S. foreign policy in Sudan. The Bush administration has sent a top envoy to Khartoum, the capital, this week to try to quell the violence that has been on the rise in the last couple of weeks in particular. I want to ask you, Mr. Morrison, there's been a lot of talk recently. The Bush administration has made public statements about the dangers of appeasement, sitting down with tyrannical leaders, and whether or not that furthers U.S. foreign policy or whether or not it undermines it. In the context of those remarks, characterize the conversations or the involvement between the relationship between President Bush and President Bashir of Sudan. There has been some direct engagement, I understand.
Yes. You know, Bush has authorized, as he did earlier, the engagement by his envoys to seek progress in ending the wars in Sudan. He appointed, back in 2001, just a few days before 9/11, appointed Senator Danforth as a special envoy on Sudan. He was very instrumental in getting to the 2005 North-South Peace Accord, which was a significant achievement. He had Andrew Natsios as a follow-on envoy. He was very significant in rallying the Chinese and persuading Bashir to agree to the UN resolution last summer establishing the UNAU peace operation for Darfur.
So clearly they believe there has to be some engagement with the leaders of Sudan. But I guess the final question would be, what do they hope, what's the best case scenario to come out of this week's meeting?
Well, what Rich Williamson is pressing for are very concrete, tangible evidence that Khartoum is changing its ways and delivering on key things that matter to us. If you look at the Darfur and the deployment of the UN forces, Khartoum has been slow rolling those deployments. They've been opposed to non-African contingents, the Thai and Nepali battalions being deployed They have been throwing up bureaucratic visa clearance roadblocks. So if they drop those and can show that they've done that on a consistent basis and that they're going to expedite the deployment of non-African peacekeeping battalions into Darfur, that will be major progress. They are asking they've been asking, Williamson has been asking Khartoum for a couple months to improve the security around humanitarian operations. We put $700 million a year into humanitarian flows that go into Darfur and sustain the lives of 2.5 million displaced people. There's lots of banditry, theft, and diversion.
Clearly a lot of issues.
The military in the last month has begun deploying its own units to protect those convoys. That's a direct response to Rich Williamson's request.
Stephen Morrison, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. The director of the Africa Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Thank you so much, sir. We appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.